Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 10th chapter, text 15. Kamam, prayahi, drahi, vishrabaso, avameham, trilokya, rabanam, avapnuhi, vira, padnim, badnihi, setum, iha, te, yashaso, vitatyai, kayanti, tik, vijayano, yam, upetya, pupa, kamam prayahi jahi vishravaso vameham,
kamam prayahi
Trilokya Ravanam Avapnuhi Virapatnim
Trilokya Ravanam Avapnuhi Virapatnim
Adnihi Setum Ihate Yashaso Vitatyai
Adnihi Setum Ihate Yashaso Vitatyai
Kayanti Vidig Vijayano Yamupetya Pupaha
Kayanti Vidig Vijayano
Kamam, as you like. Prayahi, you may go over my watcher. Jahi, just conquer. Vishravasaha,
of
Vishrava Muni.
Avameham,
pollution,
like urine.
Trilokya,
for the three worlds.
Ravanam,
Ravanam,
the person known as Ravana,
because of weeping.
Avapnuhi,
regain.
Vira,
O great hero.
Patnim,
your wife.
Padnihi, just construct.
Setum,
a bridge.
Iha,
here. On this water.
Day
of your good self.
Yashasaha,
pain. Vitatyai,
to expand.
Gayanti,
will
glorify. Dik Vijayanaha,
great heroes
who have conquered all directions.
Yam,
which?
Bridge.
Upetya,
coming near.
Pupaha, great kings. My lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him, and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Purport. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramchandra. Om Agyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurnitam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manavistam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tathapata Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatanditam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lodita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagat Pate O Pesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Anamami Vri Priye Vanchako Patru Vyashta Kripa Sindho Vyevaja Vodidhanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Hari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Kamam Prayahi Jahi Vishravaso Vameham Trilokya Ravanam Avapnuhi Virapatnim Badnihi Seto Mihate Yashaso Vitatyai Gayanti Vig Vijayano Yamukhecha Kupa. So Prabhupada mentions here that Ravana was useless, or worse than useless, like urine. The same thing, there's a verse by Tulsidas, the Hindi poet, where he says that the son, Putra, if he's not a devotee of the Lord, becomes mutra, urine. He becomes no better than urine. Chanakya Pandit also says, Ko na vidvan na dharmaka. What's the use of a son who's neither learned nor devoted to the Lord? He's like a blind eye. A blind eye is useless for seeing, but it's very good for giving trouble. Blind eye will give one so much difficulty, but it's useless. You can't use it for seeing. It's only good for giving trouble. So a son who's not Krishna conscious, who's not a devotee of the Lord, is like that. He's useless. All he can do is give trouble. Kona vidvana. He's just useless. So, Ravana came from a good father, but the son was a rascal. Such things happen. Just like Maharaj Anga, he was a very good king, very good devotee, but he got a son like Vena, King Vena, who was just a rogue. So sometimes from a good father we get a rogue son. Sometimes from a rogue father we get a good son. Hiranyakashipu. When his wife was, Hiranyakashipu's wife was pregnant, Indra wanted to kill her and abort the child, because he'd be a demon like Hiranyakashipu. But Narada said, no, this is, you don't know, within the womb of this woman is a great devotee of Krishna. So sometimes it goes that way, that the father is good, the son is bad, or the son is good, the father is bad. It's not under our control. As far as possible, we have to try to arrange things in such a way that the child will become a good devotee of the Lord. That's our duty. But finally, everything is under the control of Krishna, not under our control. Of course, not that we give up our duty. Yeah, everything's under Krishna's control. I don't have to do anything that you want from me. I just saw some letter like that someone was writing. Yeah, why should we try to do such and such thing to make things work properly? Everything's up to Krishna anyway. Why should he's doing everything? Why should we do anything? Good argument to use when you don't want something done. When it comes to something he wants done, he'll say, we have to do this. But when he doesn't want to do it, he'll say, oh, Krishna is in control. Leave it up to him. So Krishna is the supreme controller, but he wants his devotees to serve him. He doesn't need anyone to serve. He can do everything himself. Swaraj, he's independent. He's all-powerful. Whatever needs to be done, he can do. What does he need us for? But he wants to give his devotees the opportunity to render some service. He wants to engage his devotees in some service. Just like he, Prabhupada said about, yes, it is like that. That he leaves us something to do. He could do everything. But he works through his agents. Someplace in Bhagavatam it's mentioned that Krishna killed so many demons, some personally and some through devotees like Arjuna. He could kill all of them personally. But he likes to give credit to his devotees. My dear Arjuna, you just fight and take the credit. In this way he glorifies the devotees. So, as far as our ability allows, we should try to serve Krishna to the fullest. And then depend on Krishna. Not that we'll be inactive and say, well, everything's up to Krishna. That then we become negligent. Arjuna basically wanted to do that. Why should I fight? Everything is destined anyway. Let it all happen. Why do I have to be here? No, you have some duty. If you neglect your duty, you'll be innocent. So we have to try to carry out our responsibilities to the fullest and then leave everything up to Krishna. Then know that finally what happens is up to Krishna. I've done my, given my fullest effort. Now let's see what Krishna may decide. Now let's see what Krishna may decide. So it so happened in the case of Ravana that he was a useless son. Therefore the ocean wanted him killed. The devotees are happy to see a demon killed. There's a verse Prahlad Maharaj says that even a saintly person is happy when a snake or a scorpion is killed. Generally sadhus, they're kind toward every living entity. But when a snake or a scorpion is killed, the sadhu becomes happy because the snake and scorpion are so envious that they'll bite or sting even an innocent person. So it's better for them to be killed. Better for them to be killed. Prabhupada told some incident like that, that he was at the ashram of his Guru Maharaj and some snake was spotted, the disciples spotted a snake and they cornered it. You know, chased from all directions, cut off the escape routes. They cornered the snake. Then they asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what should we do? And he said, kill it. So Prabhupada said, at that time I was surprised. Prabhupada said he saw the snake is looking brave, and they're going to kill me. And sure enough, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj said to kill it. So Prabhupada said, I was surprised at that time, a little puzzled, that why was, you know, Guru Maharaj is a sadhu, a saintly person, why is he ordering for the snake to be killed? He said, but later I saw this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I understood that even a saintly person is pleased when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So in the case of Ravana, the ocean also wanted to see, let this demon be killed. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramchandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramchandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge, and we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tattva deham punarjanma nayati sarvaneti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. The Lord is celebrated for his uncommon activities. He's called Urukram, one whose activities are wonderful. He does everything impossible for an ordinary living being to perform. But people are so foolish that they accept an ordinary human being to be God or an incarnation of God. In Prabhupada's time, there was some little Indian boy who was claiming to be an incarnation of God. He was called Guruji, his mother was called Mataji, his disciples were called Premis. What else did they have? Mataji, I guess he had a brother, Baiji. it was going on. He was Guruji. So Prabhupada used to call him Guruji God. He was claiming to be God, but he had nothing wonderful to show. He would just bluff the disciples that you take initiation and you would see the light, you would hear the music, you would taste the nectar, whatever that was. And he was God. And people were just gaga over this Guruji God. Very popular. Very popular.
Guruji Maharaj.
Probably called him Guruji God. So then different things happened. One was that he was arrested by the Indian government for smuggling gold into the country. But Prabhupada even had a disciple. The disciple became a rascal, follower of this Guruji, and he wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that you should surrender to this Guruji God. Prabhupada wrote back to him, he said, you're a rascal, you're a fool, what else can be said about you? And then later when Guruji God was arrested, Prabhupada said, just see, now your Guruji God has been arrested for smuggling. Then finally, then Guruji God had a, they threw a big event at a big stadium in Houston, Texas, you know, a big football stadium. And all the people from all their followers came from all over the world. And something was going to happen, you know. I forget, they didn't even know what it was, but it was like going to be the best thing since the second coming of Jesus. Well, that's still to come, but it was like going to be true. It was really going to be something else. And so they had this, the event, and Guruji God spoke something, and a couple of rock bands played music, and nothing happened. And that was practically the end of his movement. All his disciples became disappointed. They expected something was going to happen. Nothing happened. It was all a dud. And nothing happened at all. And then later, Guruji got implicated with his secretary. I don't know what her name was. Maybe Beshaji or something like that. Then his mother declared that, no, actually, he's not God. His brother is God. Well, this kind of nonsense is going on. Anyone can declare himself God. I remember in Boston in the 1960s, there was some harmonica player who was declaring himself Avatar of God. And all these things are going on. Give some space. Anyway, still these things are going on, that this Guruji or that Guruji is God, or that everyone is God, very democratic teaching. I'm God, you're God, everyone is God. But then if everyone is God, what is the meaning of God? If everyone is God, what is the meaning of being God? So then Prabhupada said, all right, accepting that everyone is God, still there are higher gods and lower gods. Just like the postman may be God, but then the minister for postal affairs is a bigger god. So in this way we get gradations. That there's small gods and big gods. But then Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, he's the supreme god. Ishra, everyone is God. Ishra, God means, Ishra means God. Ishra means controller. So everyone is controller to some extent. I control a country, or I control a city, or I control a company, or I control my office, or I control my house, or my room. I control an army, or I control my dog. Some control is there. Everyone can say that to some extent he's the controller. I'm the controller. Ishra, I'm the controller. But Ishra Paramakrishna, he's the supreme controller. Asama Urdhva. No one is equal to him and no one is greater than him. This is the definition of God. This is the definition of God. No one is equal to him. And no one is greater. So, because people don't know what God is, they toss the word around very easily, or others toss it around, and sounds good, yeah, I'm God, you're God, or why not? God comes in every, we hear this one, God comes in every age, so why couldn't such and such person be God? No. God comes in every age, why couldn't such and such person be God? Just like every country has a president, I'm in the country, so why can't I be the president? But I have to show the qualifications, not just that I say, well, every country has a president, and I'm in a country, so I must be the president. Why not? You should accept it. Terrible logic. I have to, for president means the most qualified, not just any person in the country. Like every summer, there's mangoes. Every summer, mangoes come. So then if you get some little crab apple, and the little crab apple says, I'm a mango. What do you mean you're a mango? You're a crab apple. No, and every summer, the mangoes come. And I've come. Undistributed middle or something. Terrible logical fallacy. So, we shouldn't be foolish. We should see that where are the wonderful activities? You're claiming to be a mango. Where's the nice color, mango color? Where's the nice mango smell? Where's the nice mango taste? You're only claiming to be a mango, but you taste like a crab apple. You taste like a crab apple. Like, how are you claiming to be a mango? Now these men are claiming to be God, but when you look at their activities, they're ordinary human beings. Or less than ordinary. What can they do? Or they do something wonderful. What wonderful thing have you done? I've opened the big, big hospital. So, Nelson Rockefeller's also opened the big, big hospital. Is he also God? So many men have opened big, big hospitals. Hinduja's opened a big hospital. He must also be God. Anyone who opens a hospital, he's God. But people are so foolish that if someone performs mundane philanthropic activities, then he must be God. How many hospitals did Krishna open? No hospitals. He told Arjuna that Katasun and Katasun Chad, Nanusho Chanti Pandita, that the less intelligent person, the intelligent person doesn't mourn for the living or the dead. Hospital may be all right, but the real thing is to deliver the soul from the clutches of birth and death. For that, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And what have you done? Opened a hospital. That makes you God. Speak something, Bhagavad Gita. That they can't do. Lift Govardhan Hill, that they can't do. Open a hospital, anyone with money can do that. So one has to know, tatvata, factually, what is God from the Shastra. Tasmat Shastra Pramanant. One should know from the Shastra. Pashanti Gyanan Chakshusha. One should see with knowledge, not with sentiment. Oh, he's so full of prema, he must be God. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing different symptoms of ecstasy. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tested very carefully. He didn't just accept, oh, he must be God. Not sentimental. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by seeing the symptoms, the evidence from Shastra, not just on sentiment. So in this way, the Lord Ramchandra showed wonderful activities. Gayanti dig vijayano yamupecha rupa, by which even big kings in the future would glorify him. The Lord performs wonderful activities just to create a subject matter for glorification. The Lord could kill Ravana just without appearing personally. He didn't need to show up. He dropped something on his head, you know, something. All natural disaster. So, to kill the demons, Vinashaya Chadushkritam, he doesn't need to appear. But he appears just to favor his devotees and the conditioned souls by performing wonderful activities. And when he performs wonderful activities, everyone talks about it. And by speaking about these wonderful activities, they become purified. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtan Gridyantak Stol Hivadrani Vidhuno Ti Suritsita. By hearing Krishna Kata, speaking Krishna Kata, one purifies the heart, and Krishna acts as the well-wisher from within and purifies the heart. Oh, the Punya Shravana Kirtan, just hearing and chanting about Krishna is purifying. But if Krishna doesn't come and do things, what will we talk about? From another point of view, it's an indication that we shouldn't waste our time talking about the petty activities of ordinary conditioned souls. The newspapers and magazines are full of these things. Useless topics, business magazines about what such and such businessman did, celebrity magazines about who's smooching who, all of that stuff. Full of glorification or topics of discussion, questions and answers about people of this material world. But hearing these topics doesn't do anything for us. One doesn't become freed from birth and death by hearing about the activities of this rock star or that movie actress or this politician or so on. But by hearing about Krishna, one becomes purified and eligible to go back home, back to God. So out of kindness, Krishna appears in his transcendental form. And the fortunate persons will take the opportunity to glorify the transcendental activities of Krishna and make their life successful. All right, are there some questions?
This question comes up from time to time. Just recently I was in Arizona, in the United States. You speak about Prabhupada's family. Prabhupada, we know, is a cult of personality, his position. Why his family was not Krishna conscious?
That was Krishna's arrangement. That the family was not Krishna conscious, so it was an impetus to get out of the family life. That's good fortune. If your wife is very beautiful and affectionate and nice, that's a very dangerous situation. The Chanakya Pandit says that there are four enemies in three or four enemies. Let's see. The father who dies in debt, he's an enemy. Then the son who's a fool and a rascal, he's an enemy. And there's another, I'm trying to remember the Sanskrit. Bharya Rupavati Satru. The wife who's too beautiful, she's an enemy. If the father dies in debt, then you're stuck with the debt, so he's an enemy. And the son is a fool and a rascal, so then you have to be in anxiety, and sometimes you get prosecuted even, or the whole family becomes disgraced, so he's an enemy. And the wife who's too beautiful, you're always wondering what's going on, whether she's got something going on in the side. Or apart from that, you just become madly attached. My wife is so beautiful. So she's an enemy. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, when he was married, wasn't very fond of his wife. So he told his father that I don't like this wife very much. Don't like her very much. So I'm thinking to take another wife. Because in Indian civilization, you can have more than one wife if you can support more than one. That's all right. So it was Prabhupada was thinking, I don't like the first one. He had a second one. So Prabhupada said that his father told him that you should take it as a blessing that if you don't see your wife as very beautiful, then you'll always see Krishna as beautiful. One who's maddened by the beauty of his wife forgets about the beauty of Krishna. But therefore it's a blessing. The wife is not very beautiful. It's good. Krishna looks more beautiful. One is not intoxicated. Yes.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a little different situation. His wife helped him with his preaching. He had eight
sons.
Two of which became acharyas.
So
it depends on the...
Actually, whatever Krishna does is a blessing for a pure devotee.
Well, wouldn't we want to make our family Krishna conscious?
But whatever Krishna does is a blessing. If you get nice family members, all Krishna conscious, cooperative, that's a blessing. You push on in Krishna consciousness, and it's very good. And if they're crummy, opposed to Krishna consciousness, useless, not inclined, that's another kind of benediction. Then you become very detached from it. Just like Maharajanga. He got this son, Vena, who was untrainable, incorrigible. So then just one night, in the middle of the night, the queen was sleeping, the king got out of bed, he just disappeared. The next morning the citizens woke up, they were looking, where's the king? They described that they were like yogis looking for the super soul. They were just looking everywhere, where's the king? King had gone. That's it. Then my family life is useless. I have a son like this. Better to be out. So that's also good fortune. So a Krishna conscious person, for him, every circumstance is fortunate. Prabhupada says, like the stock market. If you're a good businessman, it doesn't matter whether the stock market's going up or going down. If it's going up, that's good. You sell your stock and you make a profit. And if it's down, that's good. You buy cheap. So either way, it's always good for a person who knows how to take advantage of the environment. It's always good. So the family environment is always good. If it's favorable, that's nice. You can advance in Krishna consciousness. If it's unfavorable, that's nice. You can get out and advance in Krishna consciousness. So either way. So in Prabhupada's case, it was like that he did his best to have a Krishna-conscious family life. But Krishna had another idea in mind, bigger family. Prabhupada said, I had one wife and a few children. That was so much trouble. And now there's hundreds of children all over the world. And without the botheration of wife. Yes.
Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, now I have 100 children.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that they become
Krishna-conscious.
Try your best and the child becomes a rascal. And the snake is interesting. It's in Hyderabad farm. We mentioned in the Shastra, if you see a snake or a scorpion, you should kill it. One day, why we saw them together in one place?
Snake and scorpion.
Right behind the garbage can, right in front of Maharaj's room. Mm.
Two legs.
But in Braj, the Braj Vasis will not kill the snake because they consider residents of the Dham. Some consider them the Shankarsham. The Lord Shiva always won't kill them because Lord Shiva wears...
Well, that contradicts my experience. Our Chokidar, and one day I was walking in Govardhan in our ashram, and there was a snake, the yellow-colored snake. So I called the Chokidar. Looked at it, he said, if the snake bites you, tomorrow you're dead.
Yeah.
And he killed it. Expertly, too. He was really good. He took a big, there was a big batch of heavy sticks lying from construction on the side. He selected one like a kshatriya selected his bow and arrow. They started banging until the snake came out. Finished it. Quite good at it. And he's Govardhan Vasi. Somebody made that.
Just one microphone.
But it's not that the Govardhan, the Vrajvasis have all taken a vow not to kill snakes.
There's another interesting point. As you say, you need a thorn to remove a thorn. Mm. You need liquid to remove liquid in your ear. Mm. Also, if a snake bites you, not only do you want to kill that snake, but if you can catch that snake that's bitten you, take him to a snake charmer, which are a few. Snake area will chant mantras of the snake, he will re-bite you again and remove the poison. This is another
You have to have a lot of confidence in the gentleman adventure. But science does that also. They take some venom from the snake and they make anti-venom.
Take a smallpox
injection.
Take a smallpox injection.
Yeah. Snake guitar. And sometimes it's said that the condition of the situation of the conditioned soul is like that of a person bitten by a snake. He can be cured by mantra. Actually, there are people in Mayapur, there are people who know how to chant mantras, cure snake bites. So our conditioned material world is like that. We're all bitten by the snake of Maya. But by this Maha Mantra, we can be cured.
Related to Prabhupada, he was in the bathroom of Chori, and there was a snake stuck between the door. He was alone in front of the snake and shouted for someone to come.
It was a knife.
It was a knife. And he said, don't kill us. Let's get a movie.
I don't know.
I
don't remember that part. I remember that from time to time there were poisonous snakes that showed up in Mayapur. And I remember one time it created a big commotion and everybody, Prabhupada saw the snake, but then everybody was like terrified of the snake, and Prabhupada's secretary was afraid to take rest that night because the snakes would come.
Another snake story?
Sure. Snake morning.
There's many wonderful snake temples actually in the Amazon. In Vrindavan, I was living in the ashram street in Jaya, Madhavan Colony, I was not there, I was in Malaysia at the time, but the devotee taking care of the ashram while I was away, he left the temple room door open. A big snake came in, he was in his room doing his puja. The snake went on the altar, knocked down the foot of Balaram, broke the glass, and he went to the table and wrapped himself around the mridanga. And just took rest there. Because I understand mridanga is Balaram, Balaram, Shankarshan, is a good connection. And eventually he panicked, and then he got a couple of rickshaw runners making, and he carried the holster and took the snake. He didn't kill the snake. This is interesting. But both the Balaram photo was broken, the glass was broken, the Balaram photo.
One time a snake came to the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was a baby. This big serpent appeared. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, just was lying on the coils of the snake. And Sachi Devi and everybody, they were completely terrified of what would happen. And after a while, the snake went away. So it was Krishna's pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Mahavishnu. And the snake was the Anantashesh. So he showed this pastime.
So Pindi wrote the place called Nagarkul. Do you remember that?
Nagarkul, yeah.
The temple of snakes, feed the snakes, they worship the live snakes.
Yeah, a lot of places actually. Yeah, practically every festival there's people who've got a basket and the snake. Everybody's got to have a gimmick, you know. So some beggars, they have some snake and they'll show the snake and collect some money. Always some gimmick has to be there.
Africa has many snakes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of snakes.
We could die at any moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Big one in the closet. But the materialistic person, envious person, is worse than the snake. Sarpa Kurutra. Kurutra. The snake is envious, it bites innocent people, but it can be pacified by a mantra. You charm the snake. But an envious person who is envious, nothing you can do. So Chanakya Pandit says that of the two, the envious person is worse than a snake. Worse than a snake. Okay, enough snake kata. All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada. Ki jai.